It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's the toughest, most important job in the world.
Four kids.
If you want to know what it's like to have a fourth, just imagine you're drowning. And then someone hands you a baby.
This is The Mom Show. It's where moms come to learn and share. Our host is Lindsay Ertz on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back into The Mom Show today. Thank you for joining us. My guest is Katie McMinn. She runs a blog called Hint of Lavender. She writes about motherhood and lifestyle stuff. She's a singer. She's a beautiful voice. And she's written a book called Big Girl Decisions, talking all about her journey into motherhood, her fears. And she also writes in the book about an experience with a miscarriage. Katie, thank you for being here today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I so appreciate you being willing to share this vulnerable experience, because I've talked many times on this show about miscarriage and the many emotions that women go through when they experience this. So talk to me, start at the beginning with your story and how this happened.
Sure. So as you know, I had fear around even getting pregnant and having kids. But, you know, we got pregnant, and it was between, I was 8 and 9 weeks pregnant and started bleeding, and went in and had my levels checked by my doctor, went in every other day for about a week. And I was in this really, the thing that was most difficult emotionally was the back and forth. I'd hear, oh no, you're not really having a miscarriage. Everything's fine. Your levels have doubled. Everything looks good. And then I'd go down the next day, be tested again. And then I'd hear, oh, you've gone down significantly. So we need to come in the following day. And it was about a week and a half of this. And then, we had planned a trip to go see his mom in Grand Junction, Colorado. And we were
Your husband's mom.
Sorry. Yeah, he's in the corner. I pointed to him.
You can point to him. Yeah, they know.
We were going to go tell Thomas's mom that we were pregnant and I was miscarrying. Mm. So that was pretty difficult.
At 8 weeks, too, you've already known for a good month.
Sure.
Right? So you're already like registering and processing and starting to figure this out and what will life look like. And you had all these fears around motherhood, and then this starts happening.
Yeah. And to your point, I was starting to visualize what it was like. Yeah. I went and got a onesie, and as I was walking out of the store, I had it, or to the front of the store to purchase it, I put it towards my chest, and I envisioned my tiny baby there, feeling the weight of this baby on my chest and feeling its tiny breath on my skin. And I was completely overcome with excitement and love. You know, so I most definitely had started to picture myself as a mother.
Sorry, was this your first time getting pregnant?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Yes. So a traumatic experience, right? In and of itself.
Yeah. And it was, you know, it definitely caused some fear, you know, the next round, time I got pregnant for sure. But my whole miscarriage was about 3 weeks total. I couldn't miscarry on my own, so I had to go in for a DNC. And that was an interesting experience. Throughout this whole thing, I mean, the drive to go see Thomas's mom, the drive to the hospital for the surgery, the silence for me was almost what was just cutting.
Just not knowing.
For a couple who, I mean, we laugh till we're like blue in the face and we talk about everything. And so to be in silence was really difficult, because it was something that was so difficult for both of us emotionally and physically for me. I just don't think that we knew how to communicate about it.
Sure.
It was something that affected us just both so emotionally that it was just too much.
Well, and probably you'd never experienced anything like this in your married life before.
Sure.
So you don't even really have the words to express it to even your partner.
It's funny. So I'm an interesting human being. I'm learning more and more about myself.
Fantastic.
I call it little woman syndrome. I'm smaller in physique, but I feel like I should be like the Hulk. Like, sure. I should be strong. And so everything in my life, I feel like I have to be strong. So physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all of that. And so while I was going through this whole miscarriage, I kept thinking, I just need to be strong for him. I need to not cry for him. Like, he has got to be just as terrified as I am. Like, I've got to be strong through this. And I don't know if that helped or hurt the situation, but it was what it was.
Well, it probably didn't help if you didn't want to be strong, if you didn't know how to be strong.
Sure, sure. One thing, I always say this is my takeaway from the miscarriage, if you're going to find the silver lining. So Thomas came with me for the DNC, and the day after, he had to go back to work. And so he called me every time I was supposed to take a medication, called me to make sure I had my lunch and everything. And of course, I spent the entire day watching Netflix and crying. But that evening, he was supposed to go with a friend of ours for a ride-along. Our friend worked for Unified Police. And every day, again, I'm saying, be strong for him. Let him go on the ride-along. Don't cry. Let him. He needs a break, too. Like, just let him go have this moment. And he comes home from work. He immediately comes in, kisses me, and he went to go grab a bite to eat out of the – get something out of the kitchen. And he came immediately back, and he's like, do you want me to cancel with Brooks? And I got up on the bed on my knees, and I just stretched my hands out and crying. I said, yes. Oh. And he came to me, and I just sobbed. I mean, his shirt was just pool of
Don't
tears.
Men know they're supposed to know how we think and what we're thinking and what we want?
They're not supposed to be nice to me. That's, I always say that. I'm like, don't be nice to me when I'm emotional, because then it's just the waterworks are going to come out, and right. I'm not going to be able to gain control of myself. Right. And we joke about that. But so that experience, having him take care of me in a way that he did, it was so interesting because, and I actually have a, there's a song, one of the songs that I've written, it talks about how can I feel so much love and support while simultaneously feeling broken and empty. Mm. And so for me, I choose to take the first of that, the love and supported, and it made me realize really for the first time in my life that there is another human being that has the capacity to support me in a way that I never had imagined before.
Well, and it sounds like for you, letting him serve you in that way, letting him help you in that way.
Yes.
So often as women, we do feel like we have to be strong. We have to hold it all together. We have to keep our families together. And you allowing him to take care of you
yes.
really served you.
Yes, it did.
Katie McMinn is the author of Big Girl Decisions. You can find that book on Amazon, and Hint of Lavender is her blog if you want to go check it out. Katie, I want to talk more about this miscarriage situation and kind of how you found hope and healing. I know that 1 in 4 women experience a miscarriage in their lifetime, so there are so many women going through this. So we're going to talk about it more when we come back on The Mom Show.
Back inside The Mom Show. Dads are welcome, but moms come here to be heard. We're with Lindsay Ertz on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into The Mom Show. Thank you for joining us. My guest today is Katie McMinn. She runs blog Hint of Lavender. She has a book on Amazon called Big Girl Decisions. Talks all about her journey and her fears into motherhood. And she also talks in the book about a miscarriage experience and how what effect that had on her and her life. Katie, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So we've been talking a little bit about your miscarriage experience. You said it went on for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. That seems like a long time to me be having a miscarriage.
It was a very long time. It was really hard.
Because usually it seems like it happens quicker than that.
Sure. Yeah. With my situation, I was between 8 and 9 weeks pregnant, and I started bleeding, and I just wasn't passing anything on my own.
Yeah.
So went back and forth getting tested, my levels tested, and yeah, it ended up being 3 weeks.
So 1 in 4 women will experience a miscarriage. So I know there are so many women going through this. And one of the big fears I imagine for these women is after having a miscarriage, how do you then make the decision to get pregnant again?
Sure. No, I didn't take it lightly. The thing for me, and I don't know how many women can relate to this, but I went through this whole body issue thing. In the last segment, I talked about having little woman syndrome. but I had... So I already have this idea of my body not being as strong as I would like it to be. And so experiencing this miscarriage, it escalated to this whole other level. And I started to have, for lack of a better term, a loathing for my body. Mm-hmm. I was so angry and disappointed that my body was incapable of carrying this
child. Did you feel like it failed you?
Yes, yeah. On many levels.
Yeah, I think that's common. for many women who've been through this.
Yeah, it's just, it's so difficult thinking, you know, you want to know why this one didn't stick, so to speak.
Yeah. And so how did you move past that? How did you decide on having another baby?
You know, I'm not really sure how that happened. Again, I'm a goal-oriented person. So for me, I just had this idea of I need a baby. And so for me, I kind of got back on the wagon relatively quickly as soon as I could. I was just like, you know what, let's just keep this going. But the first time, I'd gotten off birth control. And when we officially started trying, I was pregnant within like 4 months, 3-4 months. It took 9 months before I was pregnant again.
Really?
And that having that double amount of time, it seemed really, really long to
me.
That
is excruciating.
Yeah.
Because when you're trying to get pregnant every single month, it's like the 2 weeks in between conception and when you should know are like excruciating. And you have to do that over and over every month. And every twinge and every pain, you're paying attention to like, is this it? Am I pregnant? Mm-hmm. Did I feel implantation? I'm like, what is that?
Yeah, completely.
And it's just this roller coaster of emotions.
It really is. That 9 months was, I feel like I was just not quite myself. I felt like I was kind of this shell just kind of existing.
Yeah.
You know, so one of the songs I wrote that coincides with the book is called Smile Again. And I talk about when Thomas and I were in Grand Junction, we'd go for runs because I was like, I just got to get my endorphins going to, you know, get through this. And we went to this point where there was this bench up in this brush and sat down and he put his arm around me and we just kind of talked about what we were currently going through. And I remember sitting on that bench and looking up at him and saying, I know we're going to get through this. I wish we were through it and it was all over, but yeah. I know that we're going to get through this and one day we're going to smile again. And I kind of held on to that, that I knew this was just a temporary thing. But still, 9 months doesn't feel very temporary at the time.
No, not when you're in the thick of it, that's for sure. But that is an amazing perspective to keep through this entire thing. So what do you want other women to know if they've been through a miscarriage?
My biggest thing is, and the reason why I wrote this book, is it's okay to talk about it. That was one thing that really helped me out. I was on a run. My youngest was 6 months old, and I was on this run, and I remember getting overcome with emotion on this run that you have to tell this story. Like, other women need to know that you've experienced this miscarriage. And so I started just talking about it. At the time, hardly anybody knew. There was maybe 3 or 4 people that knew what I was going through.
You hadn't really started telling friends and family yet that you were pregnant.
Yeah, and so for me, actually talking about it really helped. And I started hearing other women's stories. There are women I know that have had 10 miscarriages. There are women I know that have had miscarriages and stillbirths mm-hmm. that far exceed what I've gone through. Not to minimize my experience, but I felt that if I could share my experience with them and write honestly what I had gone through, that maybe they wouldn't feel quite so alone in that area.
Well, and I think there is such a big piece of isolation through all of this. Think about it. First of all, we don't really talk about pregnancy before 13 weeks. So you're literally going 3 months without talking to other people, like maybe close friends and family, but not like everyone kind of knowing this. And I completely get why we don't really talk about it, but it can feel so isolating. And then obviously some of this is so personal about what your body's doing and going through that you're not really sharing that with the universe, which I totally get. But it can feel so just like, I'm the only one going through this.
Yeah.
So I appreciate women like you being able to share your story. Where can people find your book and hear your music and learn more about your experiences?
So the book is on Amazon. I write all about motherhood on my blog, Hint of Lavender. My music, I haven't actually released any of my new stuff yet. That's kind of my next project, is to get that going.
You know, in between taking care of two children. And
but I will say, if you want to hear them and you're in the Salt Lake area, we're doing a big book launch on August 9th.
Oh,
and
fun.
It's not going to be a traditional book launch. I'll read passages from the book and then perform songs and then read parts of the book, and there'll be refreshments and it'll be a fun little party.
Awesome. So is the book just on Amazon or can we get it anywhere else?
Just Amazon right now.
Just on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Perfect. That's awesome. And now you have two beautiful boys and you've gone through this entire miscarriage experience. If you could share with them what you want them to know about what you've been through becoming a mother, what would you want them to know? Now you're going to cry.
No, I'm not going to cry. I'm laughing because I just, okay, maybe I'm going to cry. I want them to just know that their mom is strong. That's all I want.
Yeah.
It's just that I'm capable, and I want them to know that I'm their safe space, that they can come to me and I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure that they are good.
Yeah. Well, and I imagine you didn't get to that place without going through all of this stuff.
Sure, sure. It's interesting because when I first got pregnant with my eldest son, the second I found out I was pregnant, fear immediately took over. Like, oh my gosh, is this going to be another miscarriage? I can't go through this again.
Well,
I can't.
And I was going to ask you, what are those first eight weeks like for you?
It was so different for me. Yeah. I found out I was pregnant, and every time for probably the first 2 weeks when I knew I was pregnant, if I started feeling this fear, I would get just this feeling in my belly. And I swear to you, it was my child saying, "Mama, I'm good. Don't worry, I'm good." Mm. And so, again, my fear lasted about 2 weeks. I think there were two or three experiences where I was like, oh my gosh, what if this doesn't work? And I believe my son just said, "Mom, I'm good. Don't worry."
That's so amazing.
Yeah. And so for me, from that point on, I didn't worry. I mean, we had a couple scares. I do not hold babies well. I threw up every day the first 7 months of pregnancy.
Oh my gosh, 7 months.
Yes. And then I have low blood pressure, so I have blackouts. Oh. So it was not good for me. But my husband Thomas would get so worried, and I'd just put my arm on him and say, "Honey, the baby says we're good. We're good. You don't need to worry. Like, everything is fine."
That's awesome that you can have that perspective, because I feel like the worries can just consume you.
Oh, they do. Yeah. Even as a mom now, I have chosen, everyone asks me, "Well, what are you going to do if this happens and if that happens?" And I've just made the decision, I'm not going to worry about it until it happens.
Right. That's what I go to, too. Until this is happening to me, I can spin out in those what ifs. Yes. I really have to practice that.
It's something you have to do daily.
Yeah, for sure. Katie McMahon, Hint of Lavender is her blog. You can find her book, Big Girl Decisions, on Amazon. Katie, thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been fun.
It's been awesome. Tell me one more time about the book launch coming up.
Okay. So it is at Marmalade Library in Salt Lake. It is August 9th at 6 o'clock.
Okay, and anyone can just come?
Yeah, it's open to the public.
Perfect.
So come and hear my story, listen to some good music, and have some good food.
Awesome. Katie, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
We'll be back next week on The Mom Show.